back to the Bramble podcast and to Bramble.com if you're listening to us from there in front of your computer or from iTunes or from Stitcher, wherever it is you are and wherever it is you are in the world, welcome. And today we have a fun, quick episode that I think you're going to love. It's a little bit of a detective work that I'm going to challenge you to do. So part of this episode is me telling you a little bit of a story. And the other part is going to start, the important part is going to start when, after listening, you kind of do this little detective work for yourself about your own story. So I can't believe that we are in September. Now, we might not be in September if you're listening to this way in the future, but right now when I'm recording this, it's the first day of September, which is kind of crazy. I can't believe where the summer went. Where did it go? I mean, it just went by so fast. Soon we're going to be putting up Christmas trees and it's just kind of mind-blowing. But anyway, September is going to be filled with lots of new content and lots of things regarding food and getting organized. So we're going to have a lot of content for you there. But because I always feel that September is kind of this time for new beginnings, we often have a little more stress, back to school, back to work, the end of summer, the end of our holidays. I thought this was a great episode to start off the month with because it has to do with the way we deal with all of these pressures that we have today. But we're going to go back in time to figure out the secret little weapon that I have for you today. So this is all about being a little wellness detective. We're going to go back in time for a bit. And it's all about your identity and finding kind of that wiser part of yourself that is in there somewhere, right? We all have an adult version of ourselves that is very wise, but we also have a childlike and very wise part of ourselves too. So last week we talked about visualization and weight loss, body image, and I told you the reasons why my personal visualization is in a beach, right? If you haven't checked out this episode, it's a very fun episode. It was last week's, so you can find it. And it's got lots of great tips there. It's all about visualizing and whether it works or not for your health goals. So my personal visualization is in a beach, right? I told you about that last week. So not any beach, but a very specific one due to the fact that it kind of played such an important role in shaping my identity. Now, as I promised last week, I'm going to tell you all about it, not just for the sake of going down memory lane, but because it's a little exercise that I want you to do. So in doing a little kind of wellness detective work into the moments or places where your true identity was formed as a kid lies a little gold mine. It's a little gold mine that we seldom think about, but it's very powerful. And it's something that we simply title kind of nice childhood memories, and then we put it back in the shoebox with all the old photos and the trinkets. Well, today I want you to dust off that box, leave it wide open until you find some very special tools that are going to help you find wellness today. So wherever you are at in your life, and especially if you're currently going through any bouts of stress or anxiety or turmoil, this is going to help. And it's going to be fun because we're going into the good stuff. I'm going to explain more of that a little bit. So you know that our focus here at Bramble is mostly on cooking and on food and our relationship with food and our bodies. But you've also heard me say it countless times, right? When our lives are calm and we reach that place of emotional wellness, all of these little pieces of our eating puzzle, they just start coming together. And we're able to make better choices at the table, and we're also able to set food aside and move on with a day that is kind of filled with other experiences. And this is very important. We can't just focus on the food when it comes to improving our health or improving our habits. It's kind of, I don't know, this very complex web of things that kind of interact with each other. So when it comes to kind of new starts, and this is what I always think about in the new year or in September, it's a big one for me. Well, we kind of have to try to get the best kickstart out of it, right? So that's what we're kind of doing today. So are you ready? I want you to buckle up. And while I tell you this story that I'm about to tell you, I want you to try to dig deep into your own story. Okay, so while you're listening, try to think about what this might be for you and find that moment or that place in which you feel you were at your most authentic, your truest self, and the place where you feel that a big chunk of your identity was formed as a child or as a teenager, and start looking for those specific moments. So Today we're not focusing on the negative ones. This is important. It's not the negative ones. Now I have those too, and those certainly formed a ton of areas of my personality, but in most cases these have been areas that I've kind of had to work on and transform in order to be happy and calm. So today we're going to go to the good stuff, okay? So when you listen, I want you to think of these stories for yourself, but go to the good stuff. You know, those moments in which you find a version of yourself that is powerful and strong and gentle and forgiving and playful, and if possible, because this is one of my favorites, you know me, full of confidence. So try to find that place. And trust me, if you dig in deep, you'll find a moment, no matter how fleeting it might be, in which you were that amazing person you sometimes kind of wish you had next to you right now in the present, helping you out as an adult. Now, you've heard me tell you many times with body image issues that we should take our adult self to talk kindly to that young, scarred kid or teenager. Well, today we're going to flip this like a Sunday morning blueberry pancake, and we're on a mission to find your wiser child so he or she can kind of come to life once again in your current circumstances and fill you up with that childlike magic, okay? So that's the idea. So first, I'm gonna tell you about this beach, this place, right? This is the place of my visualization that I talked about last week, but it's also the place where I find kind of that area of my life that is so wise and so relaxed and that really helps me out when I need that, right? So just in case you know nothing about my personal story and you're getting started with this episode, you can read more about it, more details about it at bramble.com in the About section. But just as a little kind of mini intro, I was raised by a single mom who was very sick all of my life. And in fact, she was sick since she herself was 11 years old. So she was sick all of her life too. And this meant that with every passing year of her illness came more and more complications, right? The illness kind of progressed and there were more and more complications. And her disease had us going in and out of emergency rooms. She had to have back-to-back surgeries with very painful and very long periods of recovery, and it was scary for both of us. And emergencies seemed to occur whenever you least expected them to. So seriously, once a year-long battle of recovery was brought on by a book that just fell on her leg from a very kind of high shelf in our bookshelf. So it fell on her leg, and that just brought us into a year-long horrible process with her health and surgeries. It was really awful, and her body was so fragile, but thank goodness her spirit and her desire to live a full life, it was just incredible. So one day she sold our little apartment. She decided we were going to start renting, but she also decided that we were going to use the money from that apartment she sold to buy a little house on the beach. And we set out on a 3.5-hour drive to a beach town in Venezuela. That's where I'm from. And that's where we lived at the time. And this is a place where a group of her friends had bought a house, right? So we went out there to see if there was a house for sale. And we walked into a little white house with kind of wire fencing all around it and these huge palm trees in the front lawn. And it had this kind of Japanese grass that was very prickly, and it pricked my feet when I walked barefoot on it. And it had over 30 fruit trees in the backyard. I mean, it was nothing fancy, but it was beautiful. It was such a beautiful little house. And the name of the house was a little kind of omen, as we would soon realize. It was called Port de Pau, which is, the translation is Port of Peace. So, you know, I have to tell you, I had never seen my mom's eyes so wide with excitement. As we walked in and saw all of the bedrooms, my mom said, this one is yours, and this one is mine. And then she walked out and she bought the house right then and there. No comparison shopping, no negotiations or trying to seem uninterested to see if they would lower the price. I mean, she bought the house and the owners gave us the keys and they left everything behind. They were rushing because they wanted to move out of the country. Somebody, I think they had family living in Australia. They were trying to get out as soon as possible. So they left everything behind. I'm serious, from the chairs to their bathing suits, which was pretty funny when we found them. They just basically, they grabbed their bag and they just left. And this place is where my childhood began. even though I was already about 10 or 11 at the time. So life before Por de Pau included a mini adult version of me that was perfect in a crisis, I still am, and I could react, call ambulances or the police or run out for help from age 5, which is approximately the first time I had to do that. And although I played and I had friends and my mom was the best mother on the planet, you know, what I call kind of a magical mom, my childhood began with the giving of those keys. That's where everything started for me. And, you know, through years of accidents and hospital rooms and scary conversations of who would take care of me if my mom didn't make it, we had this place. And in this place, for some magical reason I still don't understand, nothing ever happened. There was never an accident. There was never a problem with my mom's meds. There was never any ambulance sirens, never any doctors, ever, ever. And this is crazy. If you had kind of a little telescope into what our lives were like back then, this is crazy town. I still can't believe it. And it was weird, but this was quite literally our port of peace. And my mom could be a normal mom, and I could be a normal kid. It was incredible. We would go almost every weekend, even though it was a long drive, but we would get there and immediately start with all of our traditions. We had a ton of traditions. You've heard me talk about traditions a lot, and a lot of my friends often joke that, you know, I'm like the queen of traditions, but that's where it all started. These are very important for me, I think because they were so important for me back then in this place. So Friday evenings were all about cleaning up the house and taking all the patio furniture out of the house to kind of set it all up. It was a long drive, and we had to wait until I was out of school, so we got there late in the day. So it was all about cleaning up and taking the furniture out, and we had the horrifying task, because I'm still terrified of these little creatures, we had the horrifying task of checking under the mattresses for scorpions. And yeah, you might be shocked, but every single weekend, we found some under every single mattress. This was kind of a very arid place, and I don't know, it was just scorpion territory. So it was very scary, but we always had to do this. And then, of course, after we did all of that and everything was set up, we had dinner and we played board games in the little den that we had in the house, and it was just great, really, really special. So even those last few hours of the day were great. So Saturday mornings started with this huge breakfast on our big wooden table next to the kitchen. And then we would get all our stuff ready and prepare our picnic for the beach. And mom would pack her watercolors. My mom did a lot of kind of drawing with watercolors, and she would always take them to the beach. And we would head out. And all of these very special friends of hers who had also bought a house and had a ton of kids and nephews and nieces, they would all be at the beach. So coming from such a tiny family, like the one I came from, this was kind of my first glimpse into what community was like and a big family was like. And these people became our second family, and they helped us through all the ugly stuff that would come in later years. And they were the craziest, funniest gang ever. Now I have to tell you before I continue that if you head on over to Bramble.com and you find the episode that the post that corresponds with this episode, it's called Wellness Detective. You're gonna see a lot of photos, some very embarrassing photos from those years, and some of my mom's watercolors and lots of things that I've kept through the years. I've posted them in this post, so you can get like a total visual, like a real life visual into all these stories I'm telling you. So we would then, after we had spent the morning at the beach, we would then come back home and have either a late lunch or an early dinner together outside. And I was always in charge of making the sauce for our barbecues. It was my secret recipe. I always made it. And we would eat and we would talk and laugh. And I always had this little silly tradition of laying on the benches. We had this kind of very large wooden table with long benches instead of chairs. And I would lay on the bench where, you know, we were outside, eating outside. And I would lay on these benches that were around the table, and I would just look up at the sky through the trees. Now, we had so many trees in our yard that it looked like a little lace ceiling with this beautiful blue behind, or pink or orange it was if it was at sunset. So to this day, this action of looking through the leaves of trees is my favorite thing to do to instantly relax. And I learned it there. That's where I learned it. Then came party time. Okay, my mom's friends would come over and we would sing, dance, play charades, perform silly little kind of performance art pieces. And yes, there was the year in which we created a full-blown puppet theater for all the kids in the neighborhood. And I, of course, would cook. And yes, I would cook even at age 10, not only that barbecue sauce, but even at age 10, I would make my famous homemade tart cherry jam. We had these kind of, it's weird because we don't have the traditional cherries in Venezuela, but we have these very small tart cherries. So I would make jam with these tart cherries, and I'm sure that to make it an edible jam, I was probably adding like, I don't know how many kilos of sugar, which is crazy now, but yeah, it was good. It was really good. So I would make it from the cherries that I picked from our trees, and then I would make kind of like these little popovers and sell them to the spectators. So the people would come in to watch the show, and I think we also charged them for a ticket, I think we made a killing right back then. So I would charge them for a ticket, and then I would sell them my little popovers, and it was a big business, I tell you. So some days the plan was a little bit different. Sometimes we would get in the car and we would play my mother's crazy You Choose game. I don't remember what we actually called it, but this is what I think we called it. And this was a game in which anybody in the car would say left or right, and we would see where we ended up, which is crazy because once this included us being stuck in the sand and no way out. The car was just completely stuck in the sand, and we had to walk the rest of the way until we found somebody to help us push the car and get it out and kind of tow it. It was crazy. We got into kind of some scary stuff playing this game, but it was fun. So we went to rivers and lakes and reservoirs and dams and fishing villages and this beach where the sand was made up of kind of millions of little tiny seashells. This one was, I think, the wildest one we ever went to. And we just did so much exploring. And some days, a friend and I would spend the entire afternoon, while my mom was painting with her watercolors, we would spend the entire afternoon climbing the trees in the garden. And, you know, my mom would give us chores and we would have to pick all the fruit from the trees. And, you know, some afternoons we painted. Some afternoons we had the keys to a house nearby that was the only one that had a swimming pool in this neighborhood. And it also happened to have a huge mango tree right over the swimming pool. And so the rest of the kids and I would see who could jump the highest to steal the mangoes. And then we ate. We ate so many mangoes. We just ate until we got a horrible stomach ache. And we always did. We always got a stomach ache because we just, oh God, they were so good. And it was all about, you know, this kind of, you had to work for them, right? You had to jump up high to catch them and pick them from the tree. So yeah, pretty special. This place is also where I learned to ride my bike, and it was late. It was late, 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 late. I'm not going to tell you how late because it's embarrassing, but better late than never, right? And it's where I learned how to drive a car. It's where I learned how to grow my own vegetables. It's where I fell in love with animals even more, because besides our dog and cat and turtle, who would all go on this trip almost every weekend with us, three and a half hours in the car to go with us on this trip, my mom adopted there wasn't a place to adopt sheep because, yeah, it was sheep. My mom rescued two sheep, and first we rescued one. His name was Merlin. Well, we named him Merlin, but then we had to change his name because we rescued a second sheep, and they were crazy sheep when we got them together. So we had to change their names. We changed their names to Bonnie and Clyde. And yes, they were practically criminals, hence the names, but we just loved them. And they were it just made it so much fun because they were always kind of trying to, I don't know, mess with the dog and the cat. And it was just this whole dynamic that the animals had over there. So it's also where we rescued two ducks. And I saw them have 5 baby ducklings from the moment of the first crack in the first egg in the little house we made for them. I saw all of this as a little kid growing up. It's just where I relearned how to be a kid. And it's also where I saw my mom be the happiest she had ever been. Now remember, I've got pictures of all of this, so you're really gonna love going back to that post. Now, I could tell you countless stories. These don't even scratch the surface. But the reason I'm telling you all this is that in spite of having a whole bunch of childhood memories that created anxiety and fear and a personality that was kind of ready to act and always under stress, I always had this place to go back to. Now, recently, I've been going back to it more and more because I started to realize that all the keys to solving the more uncomfortable puzzles already existed back then within me. And that need to not be so perfect and that playfulness and sense of adventure and all the hundreds of trees that I climbed in spite of the fact that I have terrible fear of heights. You can ask my husband, I will never get on a ladder. If a light bulb goes out in our house, either he changes it or it stays as it is. I can't get up there. And I climbed all of these trees when I was a kid. It's crazy, right? We have this sense of playfulness and adventure, and it's powerful. And impossible as it may seem, if you would be able to see what our life was like, it was a place where I never felt unsafe or alone or responsible for my mom's safety. And whenever I go back there in my mind, often before going to sleep, this is kind of where I kind of daydream back there, I realize that it wasn't the place. It wasn't this place. There wasn't something, I don't know, magical or weird geographically about this place. It was that feeling of freedom and independence and that escape, and all of that was internal. It was internal. And there's somewhere within me where all of that still exists. And I'm sure that this is going to happen to you too if you find these moments, no matter what your story is or how many scary or difficult experiences or tragic experiences you might have lived through. I want you to dig deep down and go down that rabbit hole and find that place or those moments, even if they were short-lived, and hold those as your truth. This special place formed my identity just as much as the scary stuff, and it's there. It's there whenever I need to reach for it. It's filled with ideas of places, activities, and a way of looking at things that I can always bring back to this adult version of me that sometimes needs it. We all need that sometimes, right? Because life is tough sometimes. So I hope that you can find yours. You know, we always, whenever we go to therapy or we read about self-improvement or anything like that, we're always digging back to find the bad stuff, right? To heal the bad stuff. And I think that's crucial. That was such an important part of my journey. But we never hear about digging back to find the good stuff. And that's there. And I hope that you can find those little glimpses of that wiser you that is free of judgment, free of perfectionism or fear or worry of what others think, or free of stress and anxiety, and full of childlike wonder and fun, because life is supposed to be fun. That's the whole point, right? So I want you to go and get a pen and a piece of paper, your journal or anything else, and start writing. I want you to start going down memory lane and find those moments and keep them handy. Make that wise childlike part of you sit with you now and talk you through difficult moments. So try to find her or him. Go back. She's there. There's a moment, even if it's fleeting, where you'll find that. And keep this person, this little version of you handy, and use it now. Use it to take it easier on yourself. Use it to try to not be so perfect all the time. Use it to calm down, to ease your stress levels, and use it to play as often as possible. So, wow, this was kind of, it was exciting and fun to share this, especially all those photos, which you're gonna laugh at when you see them. It was fun to go down this kind of journey. And I just want to thank you for going down memory lane with me this week. And of course, I will be back next week to tell you, we're going to change kind of things a lot from this episode. I'm going to tell you all about the Minnesota Starvation Experiment, which I know sounds awful, but you won't believe it when you hear about it. So that's coming up next week. So I hope you loved this episode. Don't forget to leave us a little review, to subscribe to our podcast, and I'll see you again next week on Thursday, because that is our little date here at Bramble. And I hope you have an amazing weekend and an amazing week ahead. Find that little kid that is ready to play and go play. See you soon.